Namaste, sweet souls. My name is Shilpa, and you're listening to the Omni Mindfulness Podcast. I am a mindset and meditation coach for professional women and mompreneurs. The purpose of this show is to offer stories and content that allows you to increase your awareness of your authentic self and be inspired by connecting to the personal and professional stories of other souls. Souls who are walking the walk and living everyday human experiences with inspired intentions. These are the stories that will expand your consciousness and spark within you to ask, what if? Each season, I offer content to help you create a holistic lifestyle that embodies spirituality, mindfulness, mindset, and energy awareness. Through my conversations with experts in their niche area and solo casts from yours truly, my intention is to help you holistically revitalize, reset, and relax your body, mind, and spirit. I'm your host and founder of Omni Mindfulness. So ask yourself, what if just one story could be the catalyst to shift the trajectory of my life? What if I become instrumental in serving other souls to realize their true self? And what if my soul's higher purpose is in the realization of Omni Mindfulness joy? It's never too late to rewrite your story. And now, today's episode. Welcome back, sweet souls. This is your host, Shilpa. I wanted to share some exciting news about a little challenge I'm running as I'm trying to get more people to discover this podcast and the conversations that inspire those who value personal growth. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. You can leave a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. So my request to you is to leave a review if you feel that you've received any value at all from these episodes of Omni Mindfulness. It would mean so much to me if you could write a little review regarding any episode that resonated with you. Please take a screenshot of that review and email it to me at omnimindfulness@gmail.com. In return, I will offer you my one-page guide to spark your meditation practice through Sankalpa. Sankalpa is a Sanskrit word for intention setting. Along with this, you'll receive a link to my guided meditation that will guide you through an intention setting meditation, positive affirmations, which you can practice daily. I guarantee that this gift will help you start a daily intention setting practice with a spark. It is my gift for you for being a listener, being a supporter, and of course, to enable you to manifest the best meditation practice. We are now in the season of reflections, which is my fourth podcast season, highlighting spirituality, mindfulness, energy awareness, and mindset. Namaste, sweet souls, and welcome to today's conversation on spirituality. Today's guest is Janine Kenna, the co-founder of Kind Hearted Badass. She's a rebel with a cause, and I feel so lucky to have our conversation on a topic we are so passionate about. A little bit about Janine. Janine graduated from Rutgers School of Law in 2015, where she served as the senior articles editor and was published in the Rutgers Women's Rights Law Reporter. Janine lives on the Florida Gulf Coast with her husband, their two kids, and two cats. You'll find Janine on the beach, at Disney, or practicing some hot yoga. Janine hosts the Kind Hearted Badass show and, in addition to being the co-founder of Kind Hearted Badass, she is a life coach certified in neuro-linguistic programming. Janine is a true kind-hearted badass, and she's a champion of women, especially mothers. A consummate cheerleader, she's driven to show the rest of us our potential and encourage us to fight for our own personal more. And now, my conversation with Janine. Hi, Janine.
Hey, Shilpa.
I'm so excited to have our conversation today.
I'm so happy too. I'm great. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Well, we've been talking about it for a few days, and I thought, who better to connect to about a topic that is so relevant for both of our lifestyles, which is living a spiritual lifestyle, especially as a mom.
And it's
Yes.
mompreneur nonetheless.
It's so, I can't even say it's important. I think it's 100% necessary.
Absolutely. And the connotations where you and I first started talking about it, the connotation around spirituality often gets, they're misinterpreted, I want to say.
Yeah, I feel like, I think for me, I was actually very resistant to even calling myself a spiritual person for so long because I felt like it was very tangled up in organized religion, which is not something I feel connected to. So it almost felt I'm not thinking of the right word, incompatible to say that I was spiritual but not religious. So it took me a while to come to terms and figure out how that looked for me.
Absolutely. And it depending on your social circle, that can be either accepted or not accepted. And so sometimes treading that path is a delicate thing.
Yes, certainly. And I know, like, you and I come from very different religious, spiritual backgrounds, but we've had similar experiences with that. So, yeah, there's resistance to it for sure.
Now, remind me of the story, and I'm sure the audience would love to hear it, of your original religious upbringing and how you very organically evolved from a young age to what you live now.
So I was raised with divorced and remarried parents. It was all fine. My father and stepmother were Roman Catholic, Italian, New York, like all the stereotypes, pretty much we were. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them. And then my mother and my stepdad were who I lived with. That was my parents for all intents and purposes growing up. They were Jewish. That family was Jewish, and then we would call ourselves Jewish light. Most of the family was not like strict practicing, but we got together for the big holidays and things like that. We followed a lot of the traditions, but not so much the religion. Where I feel like I started connecting with my spirituality was actually very young. I was about 2 and a half, maybe. And of course, I don't remember this, but I've been told the story so many times, so I remember the story. But apparently, I found out that my meatballs used to moo and my tuna used to swim, and I just wasn't going to eat it. I wasn't going to have it. It just, my brain couldn't comprehend why I would eat another animal, like another living being, if I didn't have to. It was not very well accepted by my parents at the time. So I grew up on like pasta, but that's a whole other story we can come back to another day. But that was when I realized, I think at a very, very young age, even though I didn't have the language to call it such, that I had this spirituality inside of me. And for many years, I was trying to find ways to connect that to the teachings that I was surrounded by, the Jewish teachings, the Catholic teachings. And I remember being, I want to say I was about 8 years old when my mom and my stepdad wanted me to go into Hebrew school so I could get bat mitzvahed because that's what you do. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. But then I also want to go to Catholic school at the church so I can learn about that so I can see which one I like better. And that wasn't okay. And I said, okay, well, then I'm not going to do either of them because how can I pick one if I don't know what my choices are? It's like, I can't say that vanilla is my favorite flavor of ice cream if I've never tried anything else, right? So, for me, it just didn't fit. And that was, I think, why I felt very resistant to ever even own the term spiritual or identify with it, because to me, I couldn't separate it from religion as a child, and religion didn't fit for me.
And when did this resistance shift in terms of having a new lens on the term spirituality?
For me, I'd say it probably started accepting it and being open to it in my mid to late 20s. So when I was 25, my mom died, and she was very young, and of course that was a horrible time for me. And then I very shortly after became pregnant with my son, Spike. He is wonderful. He's going to be 15 in 2 weeks, which is very scary to me. And then my marriage fell apart, and like, so I had just all these major life-changing events in about an 18-month period, and I just had nowhere to turn. Like, like I said, you know, religion, all the religious teachings that I was surrounded by, that I grew up with, didn't fit. So I started just talking to people and learning more about their beliefs. And really, I started, one woman who I went to high school with, her family was Greek, and they were Greek Orthodox, and her family was pretty religious. She dabbled in some other things though, and she had been coming into learning about voodoo, and that was totally outside of the realm of anything I know, except from like horror movies. So it was very interesting to hear. I mean, the thing that really resonated with me from what she taught me, and I never delved into it myself, so I don't know how accurate it is, but what she taught me was that connection with your ancestors. And that, oh, I got goosebumps even sharing the story. That was when I realized, like, I have that, like, that's what I do. I pray, I do all of these things. I just don't do it in the Judeo-Christian manners that I was raised with. Like, I still, 15 years later, I still talk to my mom every day. And I do feel that she answers me in some ways, along with all of my other ancestors that I speak to. I very often find myself praying, you know, asking for guidance, be like, you know, any mom, grandma, Grace, any other helpful spirits that are listening, help me be strong through this time, help me figure out how to get through this challenge, or whatever it is, or just thanking them and being grateful. Mm-hmm. And so slowly I realized, wow, that is spiritual. I am a spiritual person. And as I've gotten older, and now I'm 41, and I've grown into myself even more and looking inward more, and I'm seeing it in deeper and deeper ways. It's really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like through the evolution of self-discovery, it perhaps even helping you go through the darkest 18 months at that period.
Yeah.
It became a way to navigate that darkness. So yeah. It almost feels like one element of like living a spiritual life for you, at least, was having the faith in prayer and like a higher force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have energy.
Yes. And that energy, exactly. And I know we've talked about this before, like that's what, when I'm talking about with my clients or anybody, you know, I'm always talking about raising our energy levels, raising our vibration and our emotional state, because it impacts everything around us. And for me, the term that resonates the most deeply is universe. Like, I thank the universe, I talk to the universe, that is my connection. Some people call it spirit, source, God. I really believe in my heart, we're all talking about the same thing. We're all seeing it slightly differently because we're all looking at it through different lenses and different experiences. I just, can you imagine if we all realized that we're all talking about the same thing? What are we fighting?
I had that very thought when I was super young, because I would see in the news the conflict with different religions. And, you know, at a young age, I moved to India from America, and I witnessed a lot of clash. Yeah, at 14, I was in India, and I witnessed different religions have conflict, particularly with the Muslims and Hindus and sometimes the Christians. And I just thought, you really think that there are these demigods up above duking it out, saying my human, my human is better than your human?
It's so silly.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like that element of energy and recognizing that the universe is perhaps the same thing we're all looking at. And so that is like the undercurrent thread I feel among people that are living that spiritual life, is that we're looking at it from a different lens, almost the energetic lens.
Right. And like, for me, it's about my energy and surrounding myself with other people whose energy feels good to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, for me, in my experience, and I am not putting down anybody's beliefs in anybody in any way, live and let live, to each their own. What works for you is exactly what you should be doing. This is what works for me. And now I just lost the point of that statement.
Well, it's okay. It'll come back. It'll come back. I think you were headed towards saying that for you particularly, having that acknowledgement that this energy is what you connect with. And yes, different people may connect with that force in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for me, I just, you know, it's, I love exploring new ways to connect with it and love, like, it's almost, it almost feels like gamified to me, kind of. It's like, ooh, what can I do with this next? Like, it's really come to a very exciting place in my life. And I think that that's what's helped me connect with people like you who, yeah, you know, share these beliefs. Like, our energy, we managed to find each other from across the freaking country.
Oh, absolutely. And I think about that so often, that regardless of the challenges that COVID may have brought our lives in terms of distance, I've only experienced positivity. And I'm not trying to negate what's happened to a lot of people, but I recognize the fact that I've made these connections and with energetic beings that are on the same vibrational level, which sounds very esoteric, but I totally believe in it. But that element of what you're saying, surrounding yourself, that's another lifestyle element of people who live a conscious spiritual lifestyle. So you really surround yourself with people who are resonating with you.
Yeah. And I think that word you just used, conscious, is so important, because when you asked me how I started coming into it, like, I was not consciously living this spiritual lifestyle for most of my life. I started becoming aware of it in my mid-20s. I wouldn't say that I've been, other than in the manner of speaking to my ancestors, which was an intentional thing I was doing, but it wasn't about the spirituality of it. I think that making it about the spirituality and about the energy has only really been something I've been intentional about for maybe a year or so. Yeah. So I just want anybody out there who's listening to this or watching this to know that, you know, there's no deadline on this. Like, we are works in progress from the minute we are born to the minute we die, like, and for all I believe, before and after that. So, you know, it's if you've followed one path and it hasn't felt right for you, it's okay to change. Like, you can change your mind anytime.
Yeah. It's a conscious decision, right? Yeah. We keep learning. And I've always described myself as a work in progress, continually growing and improving. And I see other people that way. That's why it's easier to forgive and connect with others, because mm-hmm. you know that regardless of what may have occurred in different relationships, if you start viewing them as they too are a work in progress, it makes it a lot more of a compassion relationship.
Mm-hmm. And we're all perfectly imperfect.
Perfectly imperfect. Absolutely.
And we're all so much more than any one choice we've made. You know, I think back to who I was 15 years ago when I first started even realizing that the spirituality was a thing in my life. I'm a very, very different person.
Yeah.
You know,
constantly evolving.
Yeah. And the spirituality, it's like a, what's that? It's a Mobius strip, that impossible shape that has only one side. Like, it's that same kind of thing, because it doesn't start or end anywhere. It just keeps going.
It keeps going.
As long as you're open to it, you'll keep growing with it, and it will keep growing within you. And it's just awesome. It's crazy, because I'm the happiest I've been in my life. And
I've known you for over a year now, and I feel like I see it in you. I mean, a year ago I saw anything that wasn't happy, but I see this light, I see this glow about you on a level that's so authentic. Like, you're getting more aligned with who you are.
You're gonna make me cry.
Well, I mean it. Well, and that's another element here. When you're living a spiritual life, I think you find yourself becoming more aligned with who you are and more embodied.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it is. And that's such another important point, because it doesn't have to mean the same thing to everybody. For me, it started with that connection to my mom and other people who are no longer living on this earth that I wanted to still have a connection with. That's how it started. You know, I know other people who it started after going through a major trauma that they needed to come out of that dark place. Other people who they just wanted to figure out how to quiet their mind and look inside, and that led them on a spiritual journey. So there's, you know, there's no right or wrong way. There's no one way. And anybody who's saying that this is the only way to do it, that takes us back to why I don't really resonate with organized religion. And again, to each their own, if it works for you, great. I just don't, I don't see spirituality as something that can be right or wrong.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you should describe the catalyst for your journey towards becoming more conscious of your spiritual lifestyle after your mom's passing, because I juxtapose that story with what had happened with me. And I too feel like while I was fairly spiritual most of my life and was exposed to every element of spirituality, I didn't get consciously deep into it until I tragically lost my mom. And I was beside myself for a year, just tumbling over myself, really struggling emotionally, even though I had the tools and techniques to be stronger. But I had to really dig deeper into my soul and really evolve, like you and I talked about, a continual evolution of who you are.
Yeah. And I think when you're, when you are that deep in your, in grief or pain, it's so important to have somebody to help you, just help, just to be there, just to hold space for you to have the feelings, you know, some safe space to be in. You know, for me, I remember one of my, when my mom died, my now ex, but husband at the time, he decided like 2 weeks later that he was going to go away for work for 3 weeks. Like 2 weeks after my mom died. It was not good. Oh. I was a mess. And I remember just not getting off the couch. And this was before I had kids or anything. So I, you know, I was given time off of work and everything. And I was alone. And I literally drank all day, every day. It was bad. And then a woman who I had just met, who had just started working with me a few months earlier, was like, hey, can I come over? And like, she came over every day and became my best friend, because she was that safe space. And she helped me connect with myself, because she wasn't trying to push me to do it one way, or like, she's like, go ahead, sit on the couch and get drunk again today if that's what you think you need to do. She wasn't telling me that it was a good thing for me to do, but she wasn't making me feel bad about myself for doing it either. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. I got goosebumps when you said that. I feel like when you said holding space, the lesson I almost feel like you and I may have experienced when somebody was there to hold space is our own ability to one day then have empathy.
Yeah.
Because you saw someone had empathy for you and what it felt like to be in a place where somebody will hold space for you.
Yeah, it's very vulnerable. It's very hard to allow yourself to be in that space and to accept help on that level. It's deeply profound. Spiritual, because it has to be.
Well, and when you described it, I'm just getting goosebumps. It's like, when you said somebody who knew from work came, almost something very similar happened to me. And it felt like, and I hate using the words that are kind of associated with religions, but it felt like almost like the universe was dropping the right message into the right soul, saying, hey, you barely know her, but can you go just check on her? Because I had literally the same thing happen to me. Yeah, like I had this girlfriend from work, and I mean, we got along really well, but she could see I was in the darkest of dark places. And she showed up one day, she played with my son. My son was really small. She just hung out with me. And all I would do is lay down, like you were saying, I would just lay down on bed. And I remember her saying something. At the time, it's so hard to hear the right messages at times, but she said, when you're going through darkness, keep walking through that darkness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, screw that darkness. You know, I was mad.
Yeah, but it's true. The only way out is through. And finding, like, to me, the way I define spirituality for myself is that connection to my energy. It's being able to appreciate how my energy connects with the energy of everyone and everything else in this world, even if it's from across the country.
Absolutely. So,
you know, and when I had no choice but to be that vulnerable person, to accept that help instead of being the helper, which is so freaking hard, it gave me the opportunity. I didn't want it at the time, but it gave me the opportunity to look inside of myself and connect with that energy. And I'm very grateful for that. I mean, of course, I would not wish it had happened that way, but yeah. You know, I'm very grateful for what happened. And I mean, to me, there you go. That's another part of my spirituality, is that there's always something to learn. Positive and negative is a mislabeling. Everything is experience, and everything helps you grow. And it's what you choose to take from those experiences. It's, you know, you and I easily could have just been done.
Like, yeah.
I know people who have had that happen. I'm sure you do too. Somebody died. That's what happened with my dad. Yeah. When my mom died, he basically died with her. Yes, he continued to walk in this body, in this earth, for another 12 years, but he was gone. He was not interested in living anymore. He checked out emotionally, spiritually. So, you know, we know how easily that can happen. It is a choice.
And that's the thing. Not only were you and I given this, I wouldn't say opportunity, even though I'm going to cry because neither of us probably felt very good when it happened, but it was an opportunity for both of us to recognize that people around us are suffering when they're seeing us suffer, and they're waiting for us for our help as well. But I had to get stronger because I had this little boy who was there for me, and you had others around you that, whether you know it or not, you are now the kind-hearted badass who's helping women in their mission in life. So,
yeah.
So on a lighter, fun topic of spirituality, I remember a few days ago I read something you wrote, and I was going to text you, but it just, you know, I was busy in a line of cars picking up my son. And I remember you talking about manifestation. I'd love for you to share that recent story. That was awesome.
Okay. talk about vulnerability. Yes, this is a fun story, and it is very vulnerable for me to put this out there to the world. So as part of this journey that I've been on, you know, again, we can't, you know, there's no start or end point, so I'm just jumping right in. My husband, David, he hurt his knee about, my daughter's going to be 6 in November, so 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago. He hurt his knee, he had to have surgery, he had months of physical therapy, and about 6 to 8 weeks in, he lost his job, and we lost our insurance. And he had to keep going to physical therapy, and we had to keep paying the bills. And we made a very less than ideal choice not to ask for help because we didn't want to be vulnerable. We were like, nope, we'll figure it out. We'll do it. Bad choice. Don't do that. I will say that was a negative decision. It had negative freaking consequences, but it brought me here. So it's all okay. Anyway, we ended up in a lot of debt, and it was not good. It was not fun. And we spent years working our butts off to try and get out of it. And listen, David, my husband is a great provider. He's got a great job. We both work really hard. And as anybody who's been in deep credit card debt knows, it doesn't matter how hard you work. So I guess it was right around the beginning of this year, the beginning of 2022, where I was just like, I had tried to take a job with working with another coach that I knew, helping her with some client work, figuring she was going to pay me well. I could do it from home. It would be easy, but I knew it never felt right. But I was like, I'm going to try anyway. You know, we have this debt, blah, blah, blah. I did it for like 6 weeks, and I was like, I can't do this. I hate it. I'm miserable. It's not worth it. And my husband agreed. And I was really like, it wasn't a rock bottom moment, but it was I'm done. I'm done being broke. I'm done being in debt. I'm done feeling like this. I was in hot yoga because that's my thing right now. And I was like, all right, well, I've done all the outside stuff. I've tried this. I've tried that. I can't, getting a job isn't working for me. Kind-hearted badass is wonderful and building up, but it's a long game. It's not going to clear my debt out this year. And I don't want to live like this anymore. So what can I do? So I was like, well, the only thing I can do is work on me. I've done all the outside stuff. I can't do anymore. So I did just that. I turned it all around and started really looking internally. And I looked at all the personal development kind of stuff that I've really felt resistant to, because where we're feeling resistance is usually what we need the most. And a lot of that was around spirituality. And I discovered human design. I am a 3-5 splenic projector for anybody out there who knows what that means.
Yeah, I will tell you mine at the end of this as well.
And I started doing the hot yoga more and really focusing on the breath and the internal part of it, and instead of just the physical part of it. And I started meditating and I started journaling every single morning. And my intention every day was, I am getting us out of debt. We are not in debt anymore. Actually, I should rephrase that. It wasn't, I am getting us out of debt, because it's never a future statement. It's a now statement. We are out of debt. Mm-hmm. I have notebooks filled with affirmations over and over and over. I have my mala beads, which are basically like rosary prayer beads. I mean, it's all the same thing that I sit there and I do. I am a six-figure earner. I am getting, like, whatever it was. And it changed. It wasn't the same thing every day, but I just kept it up and I was persistent with it. And little things would happen, like we'd get a refund. I started decluttering and getting rid of stuff and donating and selling and like all those little things. And, you know, those little things add up, but it wasn't enough. And I just kept pushing it. And so when my dad died 3 years ago, I found out after the fact that he had partial ownership with a couple of other people in some properties up in New York or something. And I was like, okay, cool. So his shares were split between me and my siblings, you know, and so every 6 months or so I would get a check, you know, a decent little check, $1,500 or so, but nothing that was gonna save the day. So a couple of weeks ago, I found out I had a check coming, because I always know when they're coming. So okay, great. Well, I'm waiting for the check, and I realized as I'm recording a video for one of my clients that my phone Ring doorbell was not connected, blah, blah, blah. I missed the delivery. And I was like, oh, so I got to go with FedEx, get it all delivered for the next day. And as I'm doing that, my brother texts me and he's like, did you get the mail yet? And I'm like, no, I missed. And I'm telling him, and he's like, well, do you want to know? I'm like, oh, was it a good one? So now I'm like, oh, maybe it was like $2,000. You know, he's like, you sure you want to know? I'm like, yeah, like I want to know, just tell, like, what's the big, like, I'm really like, what is the big deal? Mm-hmm. And he's like, $67,000. Immediate, just like, I'm gonna start crying. It was just like tears streaming down my face, like trembling. Like, I'm like, you're pulling my leg, stop. Like, this is a joke. And he sent me a picture, and I'm like, holy crap.
Oh my gosh.
And then I had company coming over, and about 5 minutes before they came, FedEx showed up, and I wasn't expecting them until the next day, because I had already mentally said, okay, I will get this check tomorrow and I am ready to receive it. And I will figure it out tomorrow. Cause I was just like, I don't know what to do. I didn't tell my husband. I didn't tell anybody. Cause I'm like, I couldn't make it stick in my brain until I actually saw it myself. So FedEx came and I was like, oh my God, I have company coming in 5 minutes. I can't open this now.
Oh,
so I stuck it in my room and I'm sitting there for 3 hours with my company. And I'm like, and it was a friend of mine and her daughter for playing with my daughter. And I'm like, the whole time I'm sitting there like looking at this check, the envelope out of my side. And I'm like, and then she leaves and I'm like, oh my God. And I just cry. Like, it took me a good 3 days to stop just crying every time I thought about it, because I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I immediately called Heather, my business partner, my best friend. And I was like, I just got a $67,000 check. I just manifested myself out of debt. And she's like, that's freaking amazing. Yes, you did. Because she knows the work I've been putting in. And like, I talk about it with crew and everybody. And it just, you know, and I know there are some people out there who can be like, yeah, the check would have come anyway. I was like, yeah, no, I really don't think it would have. Like,
no,
not like that. Maybe that money might have come eventually over time, but not like that. Not when I needed it. Not when I was, it was, it was.
Not when so, you were putting the energy out there saying, I'm ready to receive it.
Yeah. And like taking the moves, like we did a debt consolidation loan, we refinanced our house, like we were making the moves, we're showing the universe that like, look, we are trying, we are taking the responsible actions, we're doing the things that we need to do. We're not like throwing our money away. We're not like, hey, I want to get out of debt, let's go on $1 million vacation on a, you know, like, no, like, I mean, we weren't scrimping, like we were still living, because I don't believe that you should stop living to get out of debt. But we were, I was really just trying to put all that energy out there and it paid off. And I was asked to get back into real estate and got a listing because of that immediately. And that's going to close next week. So the last little bit of credit card that we have is going to be gone.
Yeah. Well, when I read that, I immediately was like, I want to hear more. And particularly, I like what you were describing as you made a commitment to writing your affirmations, even though at different times they evolve, because people need to hear that. I need to, you know, I'm in this space of mindfulness, and yet at times, even my own practices, sometimes you're like, is this really going to help? Is this right? Is this wrong? You know, here I am writing in this affirmation book that an abundance flow of money is coming. Or is here already, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, but where is it?
Where is it?
It's, and you know, this is where I do see, I think this experience is actually what made me realize how spirituality and religion, I mean, we're arguing semantics, because it's, you know, if you want to call it prayer or meditation or affirmations, it's the same freaking thing. If you want to call it going to church or going to yoga, it's the same friggin' thing. I know people out there are like, no, it's not. Okay, that's fine. This is just my opinion. But to me, yoga is where I connect with energy, with source, with the universe, with God. You know, I go to a church or a synagogue and I'm like, can I get out of here, please? Like, so.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to do it. There is no right or wrong. Yeah, people get, and I used to do it too. I mean, am I doing this right? Like, it doesn't matter. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it and have faith. Yeah. Have faith in yourself and your energy and your power, because you are so much more powerful than you have any idea. Like, you just don't know. And when you connect with your energy and you look inside, and you are willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to keep showing up for yourself, like, that power is just unstoppable. It's just unstoppable. You really can change your life. And I just, one more thing, I'm sorry, I know I'm ranting now, but like, if you have something in your head or your heart that you want, it's there for a reason. The universe, God, source, spirit, would not have put that desire in your heart if it wasn't something you could achieve. I can't be an astronaut, but you know what? I've also never had an interest in being an astronaut. So there's a reason for that. I love being an entrepreneur and a coach and helping other women and a few men. You know, I love doing that. There's a reason for that, you know.
It's interesting because we were both in that space, and I have had that seed of thought for as long as I can remember. And one, I think, takeaway for both of us, I don't know if this happened to you, but I wasn't listening to it for the longest time. And we would say I spent 20 plus years in corporate, and I love what I did there in that space. I still use those skills to build my entrepreneurial business. However, my heart kept tugging like, oh, coaching and entrepreneurship, this feels like where my calling is. Only going back to spirituality, sometimes those terms, calling, universe, something, yeah, in your tugging in your heart feels so esoteric. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying this out loud. Maybe spirituality is back to what you were saying, having faith in something that feels esoteric.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta, like, I'm not gonna say there were never moments of doubt, because of course there were. However, most of the time for the last several months that I was working on manifesting myself out of debt, there was no doubt. Like, I knew, like, I didn't know how. I had no clue how it was going to happen. I just knew. I'm like, it's gonna happen. Like, I am not in debt anymore. I don't know when that me exists just yet, but that me exists and I am not in debt anymore. And I just kept focusing on that. And I think that has the energetic magnetism, or however you want to put it. I'm still not familiar with all the words here yet, because this is all still kind of new to me too, or at least I'm much more open to learning about it now than I was even just a year ago. But like, it has the ability to pull when those things happen to you.
Like, and the timing of it, because like you were saying, some people may say, oh, well, you were going to get that money anyways. Yeah, but the timing is impeccable.
Yeah, I needed it now. I might not need it 6 months from now. Other things are going to happen, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I needed it now and I got it now. And I 100% believe I did that.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind.
Absolutely. Well, on that manifestation note, I do believe that you and I can probably have a whole nother conversation in the future around that. Because I remember you mentioning that even how you met your husband felt like that. And I have a very similar story, which is ironic because you and I have, again, we're across a country, but we have a lot of parallels.
Yes, yes. We had such different backgrounds and growing up life experiences, but we have so many similarities too. I love it.
Me too. I absolutely love
the energy.
It is energy. It's everything is back to the energy. Like you were saying, again, I don't want to belabor the point, but how you show up in these different spaces is not, it does not define you, meaning that you can be in hot yoga or you can be in a synagogue. But it's about how you're using that energy and mm-hmm. relating to the elements around you. So mm-hmm. you might have a mala bead or you might be doing a prayer, but in the end, you're putting energy into it.
Yes.
Even intention.
Yes, you're putting energy and intention on an outcome.
On an outcome.
And that outcome might simply be, I just want to feel more joyful. I want to feel better in my skin. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be like a big get me out of debt thing. It can just, and all those things, like I like I said before, like I feel so much joyful, so much more joyful now. It's not even happy, it's joyful. Like I found myself the other day, just I was closing up the house at night and I was about to close my curtains, and I live in Florida, so I have a little man-made lake behind my house. And I was just looking out and there was like an egret flying and a heron and a bunny. And I'm like, the sun's setting and the sky is all pink and blue. And I'm just like, this is amazing. And it's not like I've never looked out my window before. It's not like I've never appreciated that, but it just never was on that. I could feel the energy. I know it might sound a little crazy to somebody who's brand new to all of this, but I was the most skeptical person in the world. If you had told me 10 years ago that I'd be sitting here saying these things now, I'd be like, have you met me? No. But here I am.
And absolutely. We start pausing more. And initially when you're on the spiritual path and it's new to you, you need to make these conscious decisions to pause. But after a while, you become almost, it's become second nature. And witnessing the miracles around you are amazing, because it might have been the same sunset a year ago, but a year later, when you change your attitude and perspective, mm-hmm. it's a gift.
It really is. You just got to be willing to open yourself up to it. You just got to be willing to take that leap of faith.
Absolutely.
Step out on the ledge.
I genuinely enjoyed our conversation. Like I said, you're going to be back hopefully for another.
Yes, I can't wait. This was awesome, Shilpa. I'm so happy that we connected and that our energies found each other.
Oh, I'm so grateful that our energies found each other. I'm just going to get teary-eyed just saying that. But thank you for being in my life.
Thank you.
Well, I will continue another conversation in the near future. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description and please subscribe, follow, and share, and continue to practice Omni Mindfulness.